You're listening to the SermonCoach.com podcast. And I'm sitting here with Dr. David Maines, the director of SermonCoach.com. I'm your host, Dean Wilson. And we've gathered today to share with pastors ideas that will help them create effective, life-transforming sermons and also help them in their service preparation. Well, a few visits ago, David, we talked about not assuming everyone has a basic understanding of what's going on in church services. That discussion that we had set up this one. Can you review just a bit for us?
I can do that. I enjoyed that discussion. Let me start from a different premise. Okay, recently in Chicago, where I'm from, the Blackhawks won the Stanley Cup. I am not much of a hockey fan, but the whole city and the suburban area was caught up with this euphoria because the Blackhawks hadn't made it for a long, long time. In fact, if you went downtown to the Art Institute, the two big lions in front of the Art Institute had hockey helmets on. The Picasso had a big hockey helmet. All of the place, you knew, whether you followed hockey or not, that the Blackhawks were in the playoffs. Well, by golly, they won it, and I got to the place where I wanted to watch some on television because I didn't want to be just totally left out in what was going on. And as I watched the first game of the Stanley Cup playoffs, I didn't know very much about hockey. And I would get excited about something, and, you know, there'd be a pass way down the ice, and then here would be the guy, but he couldn't even shoot because he was offsides. I said, well, what's the offside? I mean, that was great. Look at him. And I finally, after the first game, I called my son-in-law, Doug, and I said, I want to watch next time with you because he was a former semi-pro hockey goalie. Uh-huh. So every time something would happen, he would explain to me about the blue line and all the rest. And even then, it was hard to follow because this was all new to me. By the time they had won, I was, guy who was pretending I knew a lot about hockey, but I really don't know a lot about hockey, although I do know that they won the cup, and that's maybe all I need to know. But I also realized that hockey's a rough sport. I mean, you can blast somebody into the sideboards, and maybe you'll get a penalty, and maybe you won't. And I still don't have figured out in my mind exactly what is a penalty and what isn't, you know. I do understand high sticking and, you know, and I tripping and some of those things I can get, but I still have a long way to go. But as I'm going through that, I'm also thinking, you know what, a lot of people, if they've never been to church, it's like me going to that crazy hockey thing and watching it on television. I don't know what's going on, and somebody needs to explain this to me. And who's going to be the logical person? It's either someone who invites you to church, who understands it and can kind of walk you through. And I found, in fact, a lot of times when I invite people to church, I go to coffee ahead of time and I say, I want to just tell you a little about what's going to happen, including areas like they will have an offering. Now, you don't have to give anything in the offering because you're a visitor. So just let it go right on by you. In fact, to make you feel good, I'll let it go right by me too. So we'll be two pagans together, you know. But I walk them through the service, and then I say afterward, if you don't mind, let's go out again and we'll have lunch and we'll talk about the service. You tell me what you understood, what you didn't, and we'll process it that way. So that's kind of the way I think. Well, now what we're doing in these programs is we're saying to the pastor, let us help you think like the outsider who comes, who is a little bit bamboozled by all this. Mm. That's a great word, isn't it? Bamboozle. It is. I like that. Well, church is bamboozling to many people who don't understand it at all. I have had numbers of times where I've gone to church with people as my guest who haven't been there for 20, 30 years, sometimes even with people who have never been to church. And I'm willing to say to people, in fact, recently, Karen's hairdresser, we got her to go to church with us. And I said, what is your background? And she said, is Roman Catholic. I said, well, we'll go to a Catholic church if you'd like. You know, I don't mind. I've been in so many different churches that I will go to whatever they want. It turned out she didn't go to that. She said, I've heard a lot about this church. I'd like to go there, which happened to be an evangelical church, which was wonderful. As far as I was concerned, it gave it a lot of opportunity to talk about things. But it was interesting to hear from her perspective again how she felt during all that was going on. So basically, we're trying to get into the mind of the outsider to say, how do we process all this? And then get back to the pastor and say, be aware of these different feelings, okay?
Yeah, that makes great sense to me.
So a lot of people are that way when it comes to church, the way I was with the hockey, you know. they say, you're the insider, you understand it all, but I don't understand. Well, an example of that in terms of church would be this phrase, the kingdom of God. A lot of people just assume everybody knows what that means. Now, the kingdom of God was Jesus' basic message. If you say, what did he talk about more than anything else? He talked about the kingdom of God. People say, well, I thought Jesus talked about being born again. He said, except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. So the kingdom of God was the big message. Any Bible scholar will say that's Jesus' basic message. He preached it over and over again. But the truth is, to the outsider, nobody talks about kingdoms today that much. So what is the kingdom of God? In fact, I think it's not just the outsiders who come and then hear those words, but it's the insider as well, kingdom of God. It's kind of like, I'm not sure I tuned into that one, you know, like the hockey thing. Okay, so that's the kind of thing I'm concerned about.
Okay, so what is the kingdom of God?
Well, you know, I can give you a book that maybe is 500 pages, and you can read all the different interpretations as to what the kingdom of God is. This is the Maine's version, okay? And again, you have to understand that I'm sitting with somebody who hasn't been in church. They ask a basic question, so I'm going to try to get on the third grade level to respond to that, okay? I would say, what is any kingdom? In a kingdom, you got a king. He's the ruler, okay? Then you got subjects, and they're supposed to, when there's a conflict of wills, they're supposed to obey what the king says. And if they do, they reap certain benefits. If they don't, there are going to be trouble. But a kingdom is a situation with a king, subjects who are to obey, and if they obey, there are benefits that come as a result of that, okay? That's basically what a kingdom is. Now, if you talk about the kingdom of God of which Jesus spoke, Jesus is to be the one who's the recognized king. When there's a conflict of wills, you go the way Jesus says. You don't say, I'd like to question that and see if I can get you to change your mind. You basically say, Jesus said it, he's the king, he's the ruler, so that's how I'm supposed to live. And then if I do live that way, there are benefits that I will reap as a result of that, okay? So anybody who recognizes Jesus as king, they say, okay, I bow before him. I am one who says as his loyal subject, I am obedient to his will. And as a result, there will be benefits in my life that will accrue. That person is a part of the kingdom of God, as Jesus talked about it. That's pretty basic, but that's simplicity, okay?
Yeah, that makes sense to me. Is the kingdom of God the same thing as the kingdom of heaven?
You know how to ask all the right questions, because people, as they get into Matthew, they immediately run into that question, because Jesus uses both of those terms, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. The truth is, in heaven, Jesus or God is the recognized ruler. There are subjects in heaven, and they are to obey when there's any conflict of wills, and they reap immense benefits as a result of that, okay? But when Jesus used the terms, my own personal feeling is that he used them interchangeably. Let me read a simple passage just to give you the feel of that. So instead of saying kingdom of God every time, sometimes it's a kingdom of heaven, but he switches them back and forth, and they both are in the same context, so you would assume they have the same meaning. This is Jesus. This is in Matthew 19. I'm reading verses 23 and 24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, and listen real closely and you'll catch how he uses these. I tell you the truth, it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. So he's using the very same example, but he's just switched his words. In my mind, that means they are the same thing. He's talking about the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, the same thing.
So when might a visitor hear the term kingdom of God in a Sunday service?
Oh, Dean, you're going to pick it up in hymns. If they are in hymnals, they'll pick it up even in some of the contemporary music. That language is there because it's so predominant as part of Jesus' message. You're certainly going to hear it in the Lord's Prayer. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's that very same thing. What's going on in heaven? You know who the king is. The obedient subjects, if there's a conflict of wills, they're to go the king's way, and as a result, there's immense benefit in heaven. It's a wonderful place. Well, what's going on in heaven? We want that to be the same as what is going on in the earth. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. People, when they recite it, sometimes they say, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, pause, on earth as it is in heaven, like they're disjointed thoughts. They all come together. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's one complete thought. What's going on in heaven? Let that go on here on earth. And what is going on? Well, you're the king. Obedient subjects are privileged to be under your rulership, and they reap benefits as a result of it. So what's going on in heaven? We want it to go on earth. So for those who belong to Jesus' kingdom, it's a little taste of heaven they're experiencing now.